Welcome to St. Augustine this evening. I hope you've had a wonderful Tuesday. If you got to go surfing today, it was an amazing Tuesday. And if you didn't, I feel sorry for you. And the surf report's always brought by Brightway Insurance, the KC Group. But there was some good waves out there. There might be some right before dark. Pretty amazing surf this morning. Got a great guest back with me. But before we do that, I've got reads. Amanda's got reads. And we got to pay some bills. And we're going to have a lot of fun on this Tuesday night. It's kind of midweek for us, Tuesday. Solomon Services, the premier place for personal training in St. Augustine. They specialize in both youth and adult personal training. They have small group strength and fitness development, athletic development for team and individual sports performance. If you've been injured, they can help you get back on the field or the court safely. And they have a great state-of-the-art center with both indoor and outdoor turf areas, and all of their coaches are certified through the National Strength and Conditioning Association. Gym sanitation is and client safety is a top priority at Solomon Services. Call today. Make an appointment, 461-9945. Visit their website, solomonservices.com. Whatever you do, don't mention my name. I'm in trouble for skipping out and surfing the last couple of days. So don't bring me up. Not in this one. And Bozard Ford Lincoln in St. Augustine. Their goal is to make sure your time and experience buying a car is stress-free, fun, and enjoyable. And that's a new car or a used car. Bozard is a family-owned Ford dealership that has been in business since 1949. And Bozard Ford Lincoln has been the recipient of numerous dealer awards, including being ranked the number one automotive dealership in the nation by Dealer Raider. And Bozard Ford has also received back-to-back President's Awards, which is the highest honor given by Ford Motor Company. Check them out today online at BozardFord.com. Amanda, what great sponsors do you have?
I have Powell Heating and Air Conditioning. Dedication to customer service has been evident in everything they do from the moment they answer your call until the time they leave your home. They are working to make you comfortable and confident about the care and service you receive from Powell. With their fleet of 10-plus trucks, 15,000-square-foot warehouse stocked with parts and equipment, they are ready to serve you around the clock. They service all heating and air conditioning brands. Emergency service, they are always open 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, including nights and weekends, also holidays. They are a locally owned business for over 36 years. Check out Powell and Heating and Air Conditioning for all of your AC needs. I also have A to Z, offers free estimates, and has been serving St. John's County for over 20 years in the construction industry. A to Z offers painted metal roofs for saltwater area homes with warranties for up to 25 years. A to Z offers shingle roofs with warranties for up to 50 years. A to Z also installs tile roofing, cedar shake shingles, designer roofing, and flat roof coverings. Recent job photos with material descriptions can be seen at A to Z Roofing and Waterproofing.com. Back to you, Mike.
All right. So before we introduce our guests, two quick things. On October the 6th, there's going to be a celebration of life for Kathy Brown Butler. Kathy Brown, longtime head of the Council on Aging. She passed away about a week and a half ago. But October the 6th, 4 to 6 p.m. at the River House, the center that she built, basically. So if you want to stop by and share in that celebration of her life, I would encourage you to do so. And if you want to go surfing this weekend, SurfQuest, they'll be at Mary Street at 1 o'clock. SurfQuest, Mary Street. Bobby, I don't know if you're out there and you're going, let us know. I am going to try to be there pending my incredibly busy schedule where I overschedule my weekends. But anyway, I'm going to try to go. So we have a guest today. He is one of the smartest guys on the left. I don't know much to say about that other than he's one of the smartest guys on the left. It's nice to have you back, Paul. Good.
Greetings, Cynthia. That was very nice. Thank you, sir.
Casey Van Rysdom takes objection to that, but he's
also left too.
He's more of a moderate guy. He's kind of in the middle.
Okay,
so he's fun. So yeah, right. Yeah. He's a fun guy. He was on giving me a hard time last week. So. Anyway, Amanda?
Yes, sir.
Before Paul and I get to stuff, you had a vacation.
I did. I got to go to Mexico, Monterrey, Mexico, for my brother's wedding. It's fantastic. My sister-in-law has been traveling to Mexico since she was in her early teens, started with mission trips, and that ended up building into her career, and she works for the organization that she served on so many trips. Her father started his second life there. After his kids were older, he moved down to Monterrey because he fell in love with it, because she fell in love with it. He started working with the organization that she works with and then ended up taking over one of as director at one of the orphanages. And so they ended up getting married at the chapel that he built on one of the properties. So it was a beautiful opportunity to get to know my sister-in-law better, get to know the organization that she works for, get to meet the families that she served for over two decades. So it was just really wonderful.
Awesome.
Very nice.
Did you take all the kids?
All the kids went.
Including Kid Louie?
Yes, including
he's actually Louis. King Louie. I just
he
joke.
Is King Louie. And in fact, we were staying at the missionary, you know, sort of dormitory for when guests come to the mission. And so we had a commercial kitchen, and Louie woke up early and he made breakfast for all of the guests that were staying at that part of the property. So that was super sweet. He's a great guy.
He's a great guy. Louie's awesome.
Yes.
We love Louie.
We do.
We do. He can come cook in my house anytime in the morning. I will not object.
I've seen your kitchen. He would absolutely love that.
We got a good kitchen.
I can't cook, so.
You'll learn. When you get older, you have some more time, you learn.
Yeah. I have been doing a rule now, though. So during the week, it's Publix only. So during the week, if I'm eating, there's no more eating out during the week. I'm just going to Publix, getting my stuff there. And the deli has a lot of good stuff. You can make your stuff.
So you're eating out at Publix instead of eating out at other places.
That's correct, sir.
Okay. Just want to make sure.
Not cooking.
Again,
yet.
One of the
steps.
Smartest guys I know on the left.
Baby steps.
I'm just giving you. Listen, my idea of breakfast for most of my young adult life was what flavor Pop-Tart I was going to eat either cold or warm on the way to work.
Yep.
So don't sweat it. You eventually get there and cook really cool things.
It's been doing pretty well. So saving money.
Nice. You'll get there.
The statements. That's good.
Yes. You'll get there. All right. So you guys were gone yesterday. Mm-hmm. We had a couple of topics that were kind of fun, and I kind of wanted to rehash and get your opinions. Troy co-hosted, thank goodness. You know, when Paul Moss says he can't be here,
rare.
You really have to go to the bottom of the barrel at that point in time. I mean, and it was like I was scraping big time. I had to get work release papers signed, all kinds of different things just to get Troy over here.
That was twice in less than a week, right?
I think so. Yeah, we have a great guest coming tomorrow, but I'm not going to mention her name because usually when I do the day before, they get incredibly sick and can't show up.
Oh, yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, people call and say, what are you doing going on the Mike Davis show? Don't go on the Mike Davis show. No, all right, so do you guys want to do mini sharks or do you want to talk about special magistrate for Trump?
I mean,
mini sharks.
Okay.
All right. So I did this story yesterday. So those of you that listened, you're going to have to hear a little bit of this again, but it's just so good. I got to do it again. All right. So in California, they have a little bug. It's an isopod. And the bugs have earned the nickname mini shark. They've been identified as a waterline isopod, right? They migrate up and down the California coast, Southern California coast, this time of year. All right. The mini sharks live in shallow waters of the Pacific Ocean, right? And the bugs quickly find barefoot waders. Everybody wading in the ocean should be barefoot. Right. I mean, how hard is it to find a barefoot in the ocean if you're a bug, right? There's a foot. Oh, it's got a shoe on it.
Unless you're wearing boat shoes.
We need to leave that one alone, right? Okay, so they find barefoot waders. Mm-hmm. They bite into their flesh, drawing blood. The bugs are about 0.3 inches or 0.08 centimeters if you're European listening to the show. Since the animals are so small, the bites are tiny but painful like a pinprick. Experts recommend rapidly shuffling your feet, but it doesn't eliminate the number of bites. Listen, in Florida, we can tell you rapidly shuffling your body does not avoid the mosquitoes from biting you.
No.
We could already tell you, right? But apparently, they're in groups of like 1,000.
Good
so,
grief.
It's like, so you could step into one of these groups of 1,000, and it's not like one or two pinpricks. It's like 1,000 pinpricks all at one time in your feet, which is generally one of the more sensitive areas of people's bodies. That's what they look like.
Yeah.
It's a mini shark.
Yeah. I mean, the viewers know my stance on nature by now. So I don't go.
Stay out of nature?
Yeah, that's it. So that's it, really. So I don't go too deep in the water. And now I've been to California, well, I think 2 or 3 times now. I've been to the Pacific Coast a couple times, but I'm not going in the water there at all. I'll go in the water here. See, I go in the wade. I wade in the water, get my feet wet, ankles wet, maybe like thigh, and that's about it. But California, no.
Too many great whites for you to put the ankles in the water?
Right, too many great whites.
Yeah.
These and this are thing, so I mean, this ugly. Is.
Aren't they ugly?
They're so ugly. Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ew. They're hideous. Just the whole thing of the mini sharks. And Troy was mad because they didn't have lasers.
There are no laser
beams.
They had no lasers on this shark. Do they have? I kept asking about lasers the entire time.
They should have.
Oh, my gosh. But anyway.
Headline on Fox News, Californians plagued with feet-eating mini shark pucks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Breaking news at a banner on the bottom, right? There's nothing to do today. Let's do the banner on the bottom.
Stay out of the ocean, folks. That's it.
Well, you don't have to stay out of the ocean. You just have to accept that you're the guest. And other
you are the guest.
Like yes. So here's the other kind of thing. I laugh about that. You don't go outside. Bear Grylls. Do you ever watch Bear Grylls?
I love Bear Grylls. I used to show my
students
that. So you
live vicariously through a man who pretends to sleep outside,
right,
but is probably in a hotel room somewhere.
That was hilarious because I watched the best one ever is with Marshawn Lynch. If you watch the episode, it makes your whole day.
No.
The best one ever is when he is on a raft that he created and he has to stop at this like mini island that's just the only fresh water is just completely contaminated with bird poop. Yeah. And so he's like, okay, this water you can't drink, it'll make you sick and it'll put you in a worse situation. So he ends up collecting it. He's like, there's more than one way to use this water for hydration. And on this raft in the ocean, he gives himself a bird feces enema so that he can absorb the water through his colon.
Okay, if they didn't show it, it didn't happen.
They showed it.
No, they did not.
They blurred, right?
They showed him on his side. He sticks the tubing. Where did he get tubing? He sticks the tubing up his tush, and he says, and you sit back and think of England as he's shoving it.
For the queen.
Oh, my God.
My husband and I died. We rewound it, and we watched it so many times. This is hilarious.
You know, yesterday's show was so boring. You guys have brought my hope back for a funny show.
Yeah, I didn't know, because I used to show it to my students for geography class in middle school.
Yeah.
So I would show them where Bear Grylls, Man vs. Wild.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes I didn't preview. You didn't preview the video first. And
that's how you get fired.
Well, here we are. So.
Did I tell you I got a new job shortly after that?
I did, actually.
You never know when Bear Grylls is going to give himself a bird poop enema.
And I started watching videos of that. I started watching videos. I had to watch the videos before I showed them.
Always preview.
Yeah, that's a definite.
Young teachers out there, watch the videos first before you show them your students, because you never know. Because he actually got naked in one of the episodes in the snow, and I was like, well, that's fine.
Nope.
It wasn't fine, but I just like ran up the video from the desk real quick, ran up there.
What class were you teaching? What class were you teaching?
Geography.
So it wasn't biology, so you're not allowed to see that was fine.
But, yeah, I guess it wasn't fine.
It was the wrong class.
I got as fast as I could up to the screen.
It's the wrong class.
Shut it down. They were laughing, and I was like, sorry, guys.
If you're teaching geography, you can teach them about Chad and Djibouti in Africa, but you can't show them a Djibouti in the middle of a TV show.
I actually didn't get in trouble for it. It was no problem because the students and I got along pretty well, so they didn't really. They laughed it off. No parents called me. No one really cared.
I want you to know, in some liberal states, you would have been fired for not showing enough. Right? In some states, like, well, that's all you showed? You're fired. Obviously, you're not fully in for the cause.
No, over the years, bless those kids' heart. They were patient. They were like, it's all good, dude. I slipped up because I think kids know deep down how hard you work as a teacher.
Yeah.
And they know that you're only human, and a minor slip up, they really don't care.
It depends on if they like you or not.
Right. If they don't like you, then they will care. If they like you, then you're pretty good.
Kids are like a lot of relationships with people, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if a kid likes a teacher can say something that they completely disagree with, like, oh, I just love Mr. Moss. No worries.
Right.
Amanda comes in and says, hey, tomorrow you get the day off. And they all run to the principal. And it's the way she said it.
Oh, yeah.
It's
the way
she said it. We don't care that we have a day off. She was demeaning to us when she said it.
Right.
See, Amanda, I had to use you as the bad guy.
That's okay. I'm the only girl in the room, so I get to
do that. Boy, that took 13 minutes to play that card.
Yeah. And then my dad, too, taught for years, and they loved him. So he didn't. he had pretty much carte blanche in the class, but he taught me a lot about how to be a good man and a teacher. So
I never had your dad for a class, but just playing basketball against him. Right. And I think sports reveal people's true nature.
Oh yeah.
Right. You find out if somebody's truly a jerk, the way they treat you in sports.
That's true.
And your dad was always one of the nicest guys.
Yes.
Except where Joe came in. Joe and I'm not going to say Joe's last name.
I just did by accident.
I never saw him get mad at anybody but Joe.
You get mad at Joe.
And Josh Stewart's watching. Josh, and Ryan's in here too. Oh, okay. Ryan and Josh both know that's true.
It is true. Yeah,
that is 100% true.
He fouled you too much. And, yes. You know, that's Joe's issue.
I expect that you're right, Mike, and Paul on that one. Yeah, your dad, he was great. Now in time for a second, got mad.
Absolutely.
If he started to yell, you knew the third or fourth word in the sentence was Joe. Right? Yes. You didn't know what the other words were going to be, but you knew Joe was going to be in there.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure.
All right. You mentioned the Queen of England, Amanda did, mm-hmm. during our biology section of the show today.
Yeah.
Our medical, we do not advise that. I would like to say that all of us do not advise that as a way to survive.
Yeah.
Unless it's the only way to survive, in which case you might as well try something, right?
Right.
Okay. But we still don't advise that. Josh, Joe's still playing with. Who's yelling at him now, Josh? You?
Yeah, probably.
Probably.
CPS.
Tell me Big Ken's still yelling at him. All right. So the Queen of England, longest monarch in British history. She passed away last week, and terribly sad for the British royal family. I thought, you know, she met all of these different, everybody. Else. So, not to laugh at the Queen, but we're laughing at Josh's joke. So very sad about that. But I've been a little kind of put off about lowering the flags to half staff for the Queen of England.
Are you talking about in India, in New Delhi?
No. The United States has flags at half staff.
Oh, yes, we are doing that.
Everybody's doing it. I'm trying to figure out really why. And I didn't know if you guys had an opinion or you just didn't care. No. Amanda, don't tell me on the Crown they do something like this.
Didn't we lower the flags to half staff when Mandela died?
We might have.
We should have. We didn't.
We might have. But we didn't fight a revolution against South Africa.
We did not.
No, but I think we're probably better friends and better allies with the UK than we are with South Africa.
I get it, but they did burn down the Capitol.
Well, I mean, they did.
I think that's known as some things I won't say.
You're a little grudge there, Mike. You're still a grudge.
I'm just not years over later, it. I'm not over it.
Two centuries later, hold the grudge, though.
We forced them to sink their entire navy in order to be our allies. So, I mean, tit for tat.
Yeah, I think our alliance now trumps, pun intended, anything in the past because... It's just, you look at both world wars.
What pun are you intending there?
I don't know. I just like saying puns. I don't know. I just like doing that. Yeah, I think though the alliance now, I mean, England's top five, if not our top ally in the world. So I think it'd make sense. But yeah, I was a little surprised with New Delhi doing it, but maybe trying to have bygones because she came in 52, I believe, right? So she wasn't there over Gandhi. So I think the previous monarch, I would see an issue maybe with a flag at half staff in India. But with her, I think she was more on the, it's hard to say, progressive side of history in post-colonial England.
Amanda, progressive as she continues to collect a salary for being a monarch. Amanda, look up and see if the British ever lowered the flags for Ronald Reagan or H.W. Bush when they passed away.
I do know that the first time in 600 years that the British military band played a different country's national anthem was on 9/11.
It
was in honor of the loss on 9/11.
Feeling a little better about them. So, and I just want to know if they ever lowered a flag for one of our presidents.
There was also a procession in Scotland, which was rare. It was like a political move by the royal family to have her kind of go through Scotland to maybe have Scotland get more involved with the UK in some way, shape, or form. Or maybe showing good faith towards Scotland, either way. So, yeah, she's... and I know Obama said a lot about her, as did Biden, so I know there's been a lot of positive press about her.
So here's my problem, right? Part of my ancestry is Irish.
Oh, sorry, yeah. So.
Which is still upset at the British for things that they did to us, right?
Yes.
The other part of me is British.
Oh, really?
It's this constant internal argument that I have with myself.
Okay.
I've had to let that one go, but it did last a long time. Not centuries like in some places, but it did last a while.
I have German, Native American. I think maybe Scottish. I don't even know.
Let me see. Look at me. Yeah, you do have high cheekbones.
Yeah, do I? Thank you. I don't know what's going on. My dad's side is kind of
like... Do you get the reference?
High cheekbones.
Did you get the reference? You didn't get the reference. I know you didn't.
I laughed it off, no.
Amanda, would you like to tell him the reference?
High cheekbones.
So Elizabeth Warren claims Native American ancestry, and she has received the assistance because of that claim. So she's been touted as a minority professor because of her Native American heritage. And when asked to verify the veracity of those claims, mm-hmm. she said, "I have high cheekbones."
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that part.
So show everybody your high cheekbones one more time. All right, there we go. We've confirmed it. It's true.
So the list of foreign dignitaries that have been honored by flying the flag at half staff is relatively short.
Mm-hmm.
The story from NPR in 2013 lists it as Nelson Mandela, mm-hmm. Pope John Paul II, King Hussein of Jordan.
That's interesting.
Yep. Itzhak Rabin, Prime Minister of Israel mm-hmm. in 1995, and then Anwar Sadat, President of Egypt in 1981.
I can see most of the Pope for sure.
Yeah.
John Paul helped free Poland. I mean, he was an amazing ally with us in fighting communism. So some of those I see, and I see the Queen because she was a longtime ally. It's just still, like I said.
Obama did not order the flags at half staff when Margaret Thatcher died under his administration.
Is that right?
I would be willing to bet you that the Bushes would have and Trump would have.
Probably. Well, I know that probably. Margaret Thatcher and Reagan were pretty tight.
Very.
For sure. So.
Very. The Iron Lady.
Right.
The Iron Lady. Yep. Yes. So, Bobby, I do have the comments today. And, Bobby, we did announce SurfQuest on Saturday. I hope that you and Elizabeth are going to SurfQuest at Mary Street Ramp at 1 o'clock. So, just let us know if you're going to show up. All right. So the flags, that doesn't bother you. You guys are okay with it. I'm the only one that has slightly an issue.
I'm good with it. For sure. Yeah. The Queen of England, 70 years reign. Longest monarch. That's not going to be broken either, I don't think. So, and in terms of the U.S.-England relations now being top allies, totally okay with it. Yeah.
By virtue of her relationship with our country and her steadfastness as an ally, I don't have a problem with it.
Okay. I'm still not over it. I'm just letting y'all know that. I'm working on it, but I'm still not over
That's
it, right?
Okay.
It's the whole monarch thing. And the fight for freedom and individual liberty.
You are know, a freedom guy. That's true.
You know the things that were really important. There was a great meme that came out. It said, marked safe from the British royals since July 4th, 1776.
Yeah. So good.
So I kind of like that one. So, all right. I have lots of other stories. We can talk about Harrison Ford and his new film. We can talk about a Colorado councilwoman who was attacked in a political attack by a social worker, which is a long, drawn-out story, which is kind of interesting. And we have Russia and Ukraine. Where do you guys want to go?
I like the Russia-Ukraine one, but I remember you mentioned the Trump magistrate. You did mention that earlier.
Yes, Andy, I have an incredibly long memory. Ask Troy.
Yes, he does.
That's Troy. So you want to go to Russia and Ukraine?
Yeah.
All right. So all of us had predictions. All of the experts had predictions. Mm-hmm. So if I want to recalibrate the predictions, right? The original prediction from all of the smart people in the room, which is not our room, it's some room in Washington, D.C. where they were talking to the talking heads, right? Was that the Russians would win the war in a matter of weeks. When that didn't happen, then all the talk was about how Russia was going to fail, right? Then Russia in the Donbas region began racking up some significant victories and taking over some significant territory. Apparently, there was a counteroffensive last week, and the Russians are now back on their heels, and the Ukrainians seem to be doing better. So, does anybody have a prediction on where this is going?
I would still kind of say from earlier, looking back historically, when Hitler invaded Russia in the early 40s in World War II, that every invading country always thinks it'll be a quick victory. And then the countries that are invaded put up more of a fight than they think they will. Ukraine being so large land-wise and so many resources, the world is not going to let Ukraine get overrun because, again, the resources, the breadbasket of Europe. So I would say that Ukraine's going to hold firm, and I don't see Russia taking it over entirely. I think there's also been internal pressure on Putin by the Russian citizens that he's been too extreme and trying to get back to the old USSR days of their territory. And I think Ukraine is going to hold fast and prevail eventually. And I think Russia will get tired of their generals dying, will get tired of all the international assistance, and eventually leave the war and leave Ukraine in bad shape. Even though they're going to be in bad shape with all the ruins they'll have to pick up.
Which I have a follow-up question on before I get to you. So are we going to spend more money rebuilding the Ukraine than we did spend sending them money to fight the war? Probably. Anybody? Yeah, Bueller?
It depends. Bueller? It depends who's in office, but I think, yes, we will. And my mom's flying a Ukraine flag at the house, which is awesome. She's actually been becoming friends with the Ukrainian family down the street who... got here safely. The husband was in Ukraine. He's here now. On my mom's corner from her, and they're now dinner buddies. So I'm glad that they're safe. They have a little baby as well. Got here safely as well.
Amanda?
So, I mean, we're in an economic downturn. We have people who can't pay their bills, and we're sending our money to a country that has dubious morals at best. I mean, the president has jailed journalists, and yet we're lionizing him as a freedom fighter. And I mean, I get that we support those who are unjustly attacked, and I understand that. I just think that this is far more nuanced than it's being handled. And I don't know that we're tracking that money and making sure it's going to a place that aligns with our morals and values as a country. And it's a lot of money. And it does not escape my notice that a country that we're not really supposed to talk about, Biden having dubious ties and receiving dubious funds from, is now getting an unlimited supply of money that we are not tracking. And it's just going down the gullet of this international body that is somewhat run like a cartel. And it's concerning to me. I don't want Ukraine to lose their freedom. I also don't want my children to lose their future because we're draining every U.S. dollar to send it down a potentially corrupt hole.
All right. So I go back to what I originally said at the beginning of this entire conflict, that if Putin didn't win decisively, Putin will no longer be the leader of Russia. Because if you go back and you look at Russian history, every time they have not won a war decisively, they have had a change of government. Mm-hmm. Every single time. Now, it may not have been a complete change of government, right? It may have been a concession by the Tsar at the end of the Crimean War and at the end of the Russian-Japanese War, right? Both wars, Russia did not, they lost terribly to the Japanese. They couldn't beat the British and French in the same area, in Crimea, with some of the longest supply lines in the history of trying to fight a war at that time. And the Russians couldn't beat them decisively on their own home turf, right? World War I, Russia was the first country to tap out.
Yep.
Right? They were out, which led to a revolution, which led to Democrats, which then led to Bolsheviks, right? The Russians didn't lose a war decisively again until Afghanistan. And that led to the fall of basically what was then the communist Russia and all of these smaller states, which Putin has been trying to put back together ever since, right? The Ukraine being one of them. So if there's not a decisive victory here, I don't look at Putin hanging around. I think he will be removed from office. And I've said that he was more at risk invading the Ukraine than not invading the Ukraine from the very beginning of this.
Yes.
Just if you look at Russian history.
Yeah. And there's also been some potential reports or speculation that he might be suffering from some mental illnesses or that he might have Parkinson's potentially, that he's not with it entirely. So, but he's been planning this for a long time, and maybe a bigger part of it is that he wants to do this as his final Russian big move.
It's just a good thing that none of our leaders have any mental issues, right?
Right.
It's just such a good thing that our country is completely devoid of that.
Well, it's almost scarier.
I guess we all might have something wrong with this. Think about
it. It's almost scarier to think that Putin is losing control of his mental faculties, because he might be seeing the clock ticking, and that might embolden him to do something crazier or to put in place what he's always kind of dreamed of, but he was always restrained by his better faculties. So that's almost more unnerving to me if he's losing his mind somewhat, because, you know, a wounded animal is more dangerous. Yeah.
And I've watched way too many Game of Thrones episodes, right? So there has to be like multiple people plotting how to take out other multiple people, so that if something happens to Putin, they're the last one left.
Right.
I'm so glad I'm not in the inner circle right now. Right? The life expectancy of Putin's inner circle has to not be good.
No, it's not.
Well, that's the argument against socialism from some perspectives, is that, you know, in order to get to socialism, you need a strong man to rise to power to put in place all of the things that you want. And even if this person is a relatively benevolent human who puts in place a very peaceful and egalitarian society, he or she is putting in place the structure that only requires one vicious person to murder that leader and take over, to use and corrupt. So, I mean, having a single strong man is always a dangerous proposition. It takes one assassin, one malicious person.
I worry about that every night when I come to this show with you two.
Promise I won't take you out, Mike.
I mean, I walk in here
and I go, Amanda, everything okay before I walk in?
I mean, we are journalists, right? In a way, right? We are the news, so we got to be careful what we say.
Yes, we do. Doesn't mean that other news people follow the same thing, but yes, we do.
Apparently.
All right.
I'm not a journalist. I just give my commentary.
Yeah, I will interview people fairly, right? But you're going to get my opinion if you ask. And if you don't want it, that's okay, too. You get me.
I have a problem with opinions. I always tell my students, guys, whatever your opinions are, you can say them in here. And I told them, you can say I'm wrong.
Yes.
If you think the textbook is incorrect, if you see something on the internet that looks different than the textbook, tell me, because the textbook is not the Bible of U.S. history. It's a source. It's a good source that I definitely look at a lot.
It's a starting point for research.
Yeah.
And you should research everything.
That's all I'm going to do.
Including the authors of the book.
And I told them, absolutely. And I said, the more you like a candidate, the more you research them. Because it's easy to believe what someone says you like and not research them. But if you don't do that, you got to do it.
Ooh, I've got a question for the teacher.
Yes.
What U.S. president changed the history and civics curriculum to obliterate the mention of black founders and black patriots of early America?
Well,
what U.S. president?
It's going to be a Democrat because of the way you smiled. So let me give you a second.
He's learned the questions, Amanda. He's on to us.
It's going to be old school Democrat, the KKK ones. Okay. So let's go with, I'm going to go on a limb with Wilson.
Can I? Wilson was pretty racist.
Yes, he was.
I was going to go Lyndon Johnson a little later.
I was going to go Wilson because he actually screened the birth of the nation in the White House.
It was, in fact, Wilson. He was a
racist.
He was a supporter of the Klan, and he was also not just a Democrat. He was an early progressive.
Yeah, he was. He was part of the end of the progressive era. That's true. That's fair.
Let's follow Paul's emotions during this question, right? Okay, it's trivia history. I'm excited. Oh, wait, it's a president. It's probably a Democrat. I'm not excited. Right. Hey, I got it right. Progressive. Yeah, so you were just, your emotional level went everywhere.
Technically, if you want to go, progressive era, 1890 to 1920, because he served at the end of the progressive era, for sure. But as was Teddy Roosevelt, my favorite president. One of the top ones.
So these progressive eras have an end line? They have a termination date?
Well, the progressive era at that time did, but the progressive movement's been going on forever. But the progressive era, late after the Victorian era, late 19th century, early 20th century is what I was referring to.
All right, so yesterday I got a Trump special magistrate question. I still have this Colorado councilwoman story, and we have Harrison Ford. Where do you guys want to go?
Magistrate?
Yeah. Amanda?
Let's go for it. Magistrate.
Okay, so yesterday I asked Troy, the way that this process works is the DOJ sent a couple of names to the judge. The Trump lawyer sent a couple of names to the judge. The judge can pick one of their names, or the judge can appoint someone that they want to run the job. So I said, if you were appointing for either the Trump side or you were appointing for the DOJ side, who would you put in place? Right? Who would you suggest to be the special magistrate to be a fair and unbiased person to look at all of the records? Paul?
Oh, boy. I was going to be kind of funny and say, what was his dang name? No, he can't because Trump fired him. I was going to say the independent defense secretary, Mattis. He's not a judge, though.
You want Mad Dog Mattis to review the records?
I'm kind of being facetious here.
No. Listen, I think this is all for fun. I know I'm going to give you two names of people who I really wouldn't want to do it, but it's going to be good. So,
whatever judge has the most moderate, whatever judge has the most knowledge of historically unique circumstances as they involve a sitting president as it relates to constitutional law for their behavior while in office.
So that's one single nerd sitting alone in a basement somewhere.
Yeah, we need nerds. This is a big job here.
Someone who's been apolitical their entire life. Not going to be a judge because you got to be political to be a judge.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially at that high a level. I'm sorry. You just get
so Amanda? Paul wants a unicorn to be the magistrate.
Yeah, we all do. I mean,
why didn't you just say unicorn? Why didn't you just go there?
Windows, yeah.
It would have been easier.
Yeah.
All right, Amanda.
Who would I want as far as their leanings?
Yes.
I mean, I don't care how you voted. I care whether you're fair.
Okay.
So at this point, I would say put in Ron Paul. I nominate wild card Ron Paul.
That's not a bad... Ron Paul doesn't...
I feel like he's a curmudgeon old dude that's just going to say what he says, whether it's what he wants... what he wants the information to be or not. He'll just say what it is.
And I do want to say for the record, with all the people that Tina locked her up for Hillary Clinton, I have not yet said lock him up for Trump. And I want a fair trial for anybody. I told my students that. Give him a fair trial. And that's what needs to happen. So I'm not going to say lock him up until evidence, if the evidence comes out that he needs to go to prison. But I'm not going
to
say lock before the trial.
Trump has been the most investigated public servant ever to exist in American history.
Yes.
And he has been exonerated from every investigation.
With the actual threat of losing his office or going to jail.
Yes.
Impeached twice as well.
He is the most investigated and most exonerated public servant ever in American history. Whereas Hillary Clinton legitimately committed crimes that would have thrown military members and civil servants into Leavenworth. And they came out and said, but we didn't feel like she meant to commit the crime, so we're just not going to charge her. There's a slight difference between the two situations. One is equal treatment under the law, and one is the most exonerated person ever who's also been most frequently accused of things and always exonerated from it, who is being accused yet again.
All right. Give me the soapbox back.
Got it.
This is all very well said, and I agree with you. Paul probably doesn't. So it's funny you mentioned that. See, I thought the DOJ would actually send Hillary's name over to be the special magistrate, right?
Just for their own safety.
Yes, listen, Hillary, you deserve this. If anybody deserves the opportunity to right the wrongs of the past, it's you. You get to be the special magistrate against Donald Trump.
That would tank any hopes of the midterms. We did that. Sorry, then we're going to do that.
I was not concerned with whether it'd be fair.
He just said he wanted fairness a minute ago. Now he's just telling you he's also worried about the midterms.
I mean, I said for Democrats. I almost said we, but now I'm independent. So I'm saying if the Democrats had any hope of the midterms, you cannot have Hillary Clinton.
So here's the other one, that a couple of names that I thought were interesting. Alan Dershowitz. Right, Alan Dershowitz has been all over these legal issues on both sides, angering the left and the right at times because he doesn't agree with them. So you mentioned someone as a constitutional scholar, judge. I thought scholar instead of judge. But, you know, Alan Dershowitz might be a great person to put in that role.
Or someone who taught constitutional law at Harvard for years.
I thought that was Alan Dershowitz.
He became the president of the United States 2 terms.
You mean Barack?
He'd be all right, yeah.
I don't think he takes the job.
I think he would, but he would.
Michelle might take the job.
So unbiased.
He would do well.
Nah. He would be so unbiased.
I know. He would be biased, but.
Yeah.
But although.
I don't think you got my sarcasm.
I think if Barack Obama was appointed, the first thing he's asking for is Trump's birth records. Too soon?
No.
Too soon?
I have a theory.
I 100% blame Barack Obama for President Trump running for president. Because there is a time when Donald Trump is in the audience at the correspondence dinner.
Yes.
And Barack Obama is standing up at the platform and he makes a snide comment about Donald Trump. And he said, yeah, but at least I'll go down in history as a president. And the camera pans over to Trump's face and he's like, all right. And I think that is why he went down that escalator.
I think at that point, Trump said, hold my Diet Coke and cheeseburger. I got this.
McDonald's. No, I do think, though, I have a theory. I have a theory that Trump, Obama, wait for it, and Biden and Hillary are all in a group chat on the iPhone.
Zero chance.
And I'll tell you why. Because they were all friends before all this happened.
No.
And I think
they were not friends. They took his money, and as soon as he stepped out of line, then they completely backstabbed him, and that's why he went so hard against them.
No, but I still think, if I finish, though, I think they're in a group chat. They're all buddies, and they're like, bro, you've been impeached twice. We're going to try to, like, as a buddy-buddy network, not get you thrown in prison.
No.
We're going to try and keep this, like, professional.
Just Mike is disassociating right now.
No. I'm telling you
who is on a group chat.
You are 100% wrong.
I will tell you who is on a group chat. The Obamas, the Bushes, Mitt Romney, and whoever does Biden's texting. Bill Clinton, they're all on a group chat, and they're all are saying the same thing. We still hate that guy named Donald Trump.
Yeah, no, you're true.
We all hate Donald Trump.
Because the Obamas and Bushes are actually really close.
Yes.
They're buddies. That's true. They are.
So I found a story this morning.
Yeah.
I can't remember where I found it. I didn't print it to bring in yet. But supposedly in 2018, Mitt Romney was encouraging Joe Biden to run against Donald Trump.
Really?
I believe that 100%.
I don't believe it. I was like, I should have written it. I mean, I was like, yes, 100%. 100%.
He did.
He hated Donald Trump so much.
He hated him so much.
The trouble is because Romney is, I guess he's the most moderate Republican, and besides, I guess Liz Cheney.
Please do not use Republican and Romney in the same sentence around me.
There we go.
Or I will have one of these long-standing feuds with you that may not end in this century, and I'm not likely to live to the end of the century.
None of us are.
Amanda's got a shot. She's young enough.
Let's get frozen.
Definitely
she's
not.
Young enough.
Alcor.
She is young enough. All right. So on a little lighter note.
Yeah.
Changing gears completely. Harrison Ford, at age 80.
He's 80 years old.
He's 80 years old.
So right? old.
So first of all, he's going to be in the next Yellowstone prequel. Mm-hmm. 1923 or 32. They changed the title for dyslexic people, which is difficult, right?
Right.
It was either 1923 or 1932. So it's one of those two. So he and Helen Mirren are going to be the Dutton family. Right, the patriarchs. Mm-hmm. But anyway, he signed up for the 5th installment of Indiana Jones.
And then they had to delay it because of his health issues.
He got hurt doing a stunt or something or had some other issues, right? So I guess now he's going to play a real archaeologist.
Not a fake one.
Just think about it. Every archaeologist I ever saw as a kid was 80 years old.
Oh, yeah.
Think about every archaeological show you ever saw, and it was an 80-year-old white guy as the archaeologist telling you what they had found around the ancient world, right?
Yeah, he has a chance.
So I guess now he's really going to play the archaeologist.
Typecasting.
Yeah.
At this point, he's going to be really gruff and point at the camera a lot.
Oh, my gosh. The fourth one, I don't even think I watched it.
The crystal skull one?
I,
I saw.
I think I might have walked out of the theater because it was, to me, it was just ridiculous.
I watched it and it made me sad.
They were aliens.
When he hid in the freezer, right? When the nuclear bomb went off, like, first of all, it's hot enough to melt that thing, so you're toast inside it, right? Right. I was like, this is ridiculous. I can't. It just went a bridge too far for me.
Too much.
Yeah, it was just so. Now they're like, oh, great. What are we going to do for the fifth one?
I believe the last one, the Crystal Skull, had aliens involved. I'm correct, Amanda.
I think so.
Yes.
So should we take a, like, what do you guys think?
They're going to do.
Well, they've already done the Bible.
Nazis.
They've done the Bible again in the third one, right? Mm-hmm. The second one was the Indian culture.
Like, yes.
Right? So where do they go now? Where do they send Dr. Jones around the world this time? You've got Mexican culture, right?
Right.
The Chinese.
Yeah, Asian culture.
Asian culture.
He's going to be tracing the advent of white supremacy.
That's actually not a bad guess. That's very possible. That's what the show Watchmen did on HBO a couple years ago.
So he's going to arrest Donald Trump in the past?
Sure. Oh.
Just asking.
Ooh. Mike said it.
To appease you.
I have not called him a racist on the show. I did call him something else.
No. Look,
that's a little sad that day.
I love the qualification, not on the show.
No. Actually, I never have.
Bobby has the best title. No, Indiana Jones and the Nursing Home Mysteries.
Fantastic.
The Nursing Home Mysteries.
Coming to a Hallmark channel near you.
Is anybody interested in seeing him play Indiana Jones again?
No.
Yeah.
As a girl that grew up in the 80s who hard crushed on Indiana Jones and Han Solo, stop it. Retire. You're done.
That's when Han Solo died, I lost all faith in him, right? I know he's going to be in the Yellowstone series and I'm excited about that, but it's like, you should have fought for yourself at the Disney writers table.
So right. He always wanted to die. He only took Han Solo because he was promised to die and to not ever have to play the role again. And he did it as a favor. And that's why he was frozen in carbonite. But he was so popular that they begged him to please return. And that's why they unfroze him from carbonite. He was not supposed to be in any other Star Wars movie. So he finally got his wish. And that was his desire, was for Han Solo to die.
As a Star Wars fan, he died too quickly. Right? If that's how he wanted. I mean, if you have something that... I don't get these actors. You get a role that your fans love you in it.
Right.
And like, hey, can you do, and you're like, okay. I mean, here he is. He didn't want to do Han Solo for the third time, right? The second or the third time. But he wants to be an archaeologist for the fifth time. Explain that to me.
I can explain it to you using a reference from Mel Brooks.
Please.
Indiana Jones 5, The Search for More Money.
Yeah, that's it. Pay those bills.
I was so glad you didn't use something from Young Frankenstein. Because at his age, one of the lines might apply now.
That's true.
Think about it, people. I'm not going to give it to you. You got to think about it. So you don't even know what we're talking about.
No.
Kids. I'm working with kids.
You work with kids. I'm working with kids here today.
You've never watched Young Frankenstein?
No, sir.
You should go home, put Bear Grylls on the side, and watch Young Frankenstein. Just let Bear have the night off.
Right.
He'll be happy. You'll laugh more. And watch Young Frankenstein.
Okay.
It's got some of the best one-liners ever.
Walk this way.
Yes.
And then what is the decade or so of Young Frankenstein?
It is set in the 1960s, 50s, 60s in Transylvania.
Okay.
With young Dr. Frankenstein.
Oh, really?
That's hence the name.
I like that.
Frankenstein. Okay. Marty Feldman's. It's a phenomenal cast.
Peter Boyle.
Yeah.
I've been watching less TV recently. I watch sports, but that's about
it. You should watch that. If you could find an old version of Blazing Saddles, that's pretty good.
I know, that's a good show.
But I have to tell you, Blazing Saddles, I thought the first 30 or 40 minutes was funny. I didn't think the end of the movie was funny. That's me. There were parts, so.
I don't know, the line when the dance troupe is rehearsing and they're singing their song and the choreographer just looks exasperated because they're not ending their note at the same time. He's like, sounds like gas escaping. That still cracks me up.
That's it. So Andy hits deep tonight. And Andy, I love you. The food's awesome over there. I did eat breakfast there about a week and a half ago. It's so amazing. Does that make you, Mike, the Harrison Ford of the show? No, because I'm still relevant. I enjoy the show. Harrison Ford would have quit the radio in week two.
You keep going, though. I would say so.
And Mike wouldn't force a CGI dog just because he doesn't want to have to deal with
dog hairs. I would love working with a real dog.
Oh. That bothered me so much.
Bernie.
Yeah. Yeah, some of the elders. Bobby, you got to watch. I can't believe Bobby didn't watch that movie.
Ah, Young Frankenstein, come on.
Yeah, come on.
Go check it out.
People, it's the movie recommendation of the week. Go find it on wherever it is and watch it.
Okay.
It's awesome. Next week, Stripes.
Stripes. That'll let it
awesome. You haven't seen Stripes
no,
either?
Sir. Is that prison?
Oh, my. No. Oh. Is that prison?
Okay.
Lock him up.
That's now you are going to movie jail. I need your Netflix subscription, right. Your Amazon subscription, and whatever other ones you have. You lose them for a week for that.
You now okay. have to watch right. on a 13-inch TV with a VCR.
No, Betamax. We're going to find him a Betamax.
Okay, Betamax. Because
that way he can't find any movies to watch.
We're going to have to borrow one from Bill Gates. He's the only one that can afford it now.
I bet Bobby still has his Betamax. If anybody still has their Betamax, it's Bobby.
I was thinking of holes. That's what I was thinking of. The holes for the kids.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that Stripes is, you should want to watch that. It's Bill Murray, mm-hmm. Harold Ramis. Decide to enlist in the Army. Mm. This is 1980s when the Army was a bit of a mess.
Okay.
And then who is the drill sergeant for them?
I can find it.
Warren Oates. I don't know where that came from, but from way back memory machine, that Warren Oates was, and he was phenomenal as the drill sergeant.
All right.
John Candy's in it.
Okay.
There's just a ton of great young actors in it.
John Candy and the birth control glasses.
Oh.
Yeah.
The military issue glasses, the soldiers would call them birth control glasses.
I like that.
And it was great. It's absolutely a hilarious movie. It really is very, very funny. And that's one of the ones that starts out funny, kind of stays funny, gets a little serious, and then gets really funny again at the end. Mm-hmm. So
a movie I haven't seen in for a while, but I really thought was fun, was Spies Like Us. But I wonder if it would hold up still.
No. You were just too young.
I thought it was funny.
I thought that was one of the worst movies. I mean, I had to pay $5 for a movie back then, and I thought I got ripped off.
Chevy Chase, Spies Like Us.
And then they had a song. This is when they were mixing music with movies. And they're like, oh, we'll get a Spies Like Us song. And this song was Spies Like Us. Go look that up. That's probably worse than the movie. If you had to endure the theme song on the radio and then go watch the movie, not good.
Not good.
Not good. Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Bobby, what in the wide, wide world of sports are you talking about?
I had a VHS too. My parents did buy a Betamax, but they quickly jumped ship to VHS.
Well, Betamax was a great format. Right. But it was one of those things where VHS just, I guess it was a cheaper product and people went to the VHS. The Betamax was a smaller tape. It wasn't as big as the VHS. Yeah. But Beta got crushed in that competition. They got absolutely crushed. So, because when you first went into rent movies back then, because there was no Blockbuster, there was just a guy on a corner who bought movies and rented movies, right? They had a Betamax section and a VHS section. Yes. And then the Betamax section, you know, became like a...
dwindled and then went on clearance.
Oh, there was like one movie, right? You're like, when's that one coming back so I can watch it again? No, it just didn't exist. So, yeah, the VHS took over.
Much like Laserdisc was demolished by DVD.
Yes. I miss my Laserdisc. Thanks for bringing that painful moment.
Sorry. Salt in the wound.
I know. And I miss MP3 players while we're at it, just so we can all be up. But I miss the MP3 player.
You have one on your phone, so it's with you forever.
Forever.
I thought that was iTunes.
Can't escape it.
It's the same thing.
Is it really?
Yes.
Thanks for telling me. I now I feel better.
See? I'm here to help.
Old people learn things, too, every day.
I am tech support for boomers everywhere.
All right. You guys want to hear about the Colorado councilwoman?
Yes. Let's
do that.
I know you really don't because you avoided the story to the very end, but we're going to do it anyway.
Well, it is Colorado.
Aurora, Colorado Councilwoman Danielle Jurenski believed earlier this year that she was facing an isolated political attack after she was placed under investigation for an allegation she inappropriately touched her own toddler. And this is all from a Fox News story. All right. So months later, she was cleared by investigators of any wrongdoing, but she discovered dozens of other parents in the area were allegedly targeted by a social worker who reportedly worked to separate families with phony accusations.
Ew.
And this gets worse. That this is the tip of the iceberg on this story. Okay. So the only reason that she found out about it is because it became a public story and other people reached out to her, right?
Yeah.
That it's not an isolated incident. Okay. So what started this is Jareski's, was on the city council and began to go after the police chief, Aurora Police Chief Vanessa Wilson, right? Who in an interview, radio talk show interview, described the top cop as trash who needed to be ousted. The allegation came the next day, okay, from Vanessa Wilson's girlfriend at the time, who was the social worker who reported this issue. The police traced it back to the girlfriend's cell phone and also checked her search history where she looked up where the woman lived and all of this other information and did she have kids and other stuff. So
the police chief's girlfriend.
At the time, they're no longer together now. The story's completely clear about that.
All right.
Yes, was accused and then was removed. And then they started finding out all these other instances where the social worker had done the same thing to separate families.
So the social worker just wanted to separate families for their own pleasure?
I don't know.
Is that
their own? It sounds like she was just vengeful.
It sounded like she had an agenda. Yes.
Way to make the mean girl stereotype like hit all the way up to 11.
Yeah.
It's just a weird story. I mean, that's a harsh way to go after somebody you don't like for saying something about your girlfriend.
Right.
I mean, I thank goodness that you guys aren't that bad when people say mean things about me like Andy and Bobby did today.
And we just let it go.
You know, my husband and I kind of had to have a running discussion about, you know, be careful who you anger. And my comment is always like, men have a fight. The fight's not personal. They move on, typically. They don't usually have their emotions in it. Women, when they fight, they go scorched earth. Like,
what age did you realize this? 5 or 6?
Scorched earth policy.
I learned this very early because I wasn't one to mince words, and I would call you out on your BS if I thought you needed to hear it. And so I got scorched earth real early. But my husband hadn't heard that broken down for him until he was an adult. So, yeah, like, that's full-on scorched earth. You said something I don't like about my girlfriend, so I'm going to destroy your entire family. Generational trauma.
Yeah. Yep. So my daughter learned this at a very, very early age, and I am not going to mention any of the names and even the school where she was at. But American girls, there were 6 of them. There were history series, right? And they had young American girls in different time periods within the American experience. And at PE, there was 6 girls in this group, and they would play American girls. And one girl got mad because she couldn't be Kit, right? How I remember Kit, I don't know. And so my daughter's like, you know, we're like, well, why can't so-and-so be Kit? Well, because Amanda wants to be Kit. Well, why does Amanda always have to be Kit? Well, because if this girl gets mad at me, she's only mad at me for 2 days. But if Amanda gets mad at me, she's mad at me like for 2 weeks. So Amanda always gets to be Kit. So she figured it out at an early age, Amanda.
Yeah. And by the way,
were you Kit growing up too? I'm just asking.
No, I was Samantha.
I should have known. I should have known there was an American girl in your backstory.
Yes, there is a Samantha.
And where was Samantha from?
She was Victorian era.
Was that Boston? Was that the Boston one?
It might have been. That's way back in my memory bank.
I can't remember. The Victorian one might not have been. Boston might have been the Revolutionary War.
Yeah, that might have been.
That sounds like it.
I only know because Wesley had all the books. So.
Yeah.
All right. Paul Moss, thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate you being back.
Nice.
Amanda, thanks for the stunning Bear Grylls story, which none of us will ever try. Or we hope we never have to try.
Everyone.
Yes.
And again,
shout out to Louis for cooking at the wedding.
Yep.
And for all you out there new teachers, always watch the video first. Yes.
Preview video first.
Including this one.
I got lucky, so.
All right, this is St. Augustine This Evening. We'll be back tomorrow.